Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and don't look now, but there's a new Knott Romney in town. Rick Santorum came in first in all three states that voted yesterday, Missouri, Minnesota, and Colorado. Let's talk about what it means and listen to some of his victory speech, which was very interesting, with Lisa Lehrer, no relation, different spelling, politics reporter for Bloomberg News. Lisa, welcome back to WNYC. Lisa, you there? I think we're having trouble bringing up your line. Is she there? Well, I'll go right on to
Hello?
The speech. Oh, now we got you, Lisa. Hi.
Hi. Sorry. Thanks for having me.
Were you surprised at the outcomes last night?
No. You know, the Romney campaign in particular has been working pretty hard to lower expectations in Minnesota, in Missouri. Colorado was slightly surprising, but there really are strong evangelical Christian social conservatives. Contingents, particularly in the Republican, the type of Republican voters that come out and vote in caucuses in all three of those states. So it wasn't entirely surprising, although Colorado was a little bit surprising.
From a horse race standpoint, what does it change?
It doesn't change all that much in terms of who's likely to end up becoming the nominee. The odds are still on Romney. Romney's likely to do this. What it does do for the Romney campaign in particular is it undercuts their argument that they were sort of on this unstoppable march to the nomination, because it shows that there still is a large contingent of the base that really doesn't like Romney. He's still not really winning over those voters. And, you know, some folks in the party that don't particularly want to see Romney as a nominee argue that that'll make it harder for him in the general election, that Republicans are less likely to turn out for someone that they don't really like. The question is whether they don't like Romney more than they don't like President Obama. And I think that the dislike of President Obama would win out.
Santorum, who doesn't have much money, had a great free media platform as a result, a victory speech given just before 11 o'clock. So it was live on cable, and he got instant replays on the 11 o'clock news across the country, presumably. And he knew he had that moment. So let's listen to some of how he used it. First of all, he came right out of the gate with faith and family.
First off, let me just thank God for giving us the grace to be able to persevere through the dog days and blessing us and blessing our family. My wife, Karen, here. What a rock. I mean, what a rock through these last few weeks.
And I don't think he was talking about her engagement ring. And then he used his working class cred. You know, David Gergen last night on CNN called him a street corner Republican for his downscale evangelical background and the way he connects with people in either of those groups. And he used that to go after Mitt Romney.
Because I do care about not 99% or 95%. I care about the very rich and the very poor. I care about 100% of America.
Santorum from his victory speech. Lisa, I guess that was inevitable, the jab at the Romney don't care about the very poor remark.
Right, and that's one of the arguments that Santorum has been pushing particularly hard throughout this entire race, that he can connect with the type of blue-collar workers, particularly those in the industrial Midwest, where the race moved, of course, yesterday, better than Romney can. I also think he benefited a bit from things in the news. One thing, there's, of course, the Susan B. Komen Planned Parenthood controversy, which has a lot of social conservatives pretty irate. And there's also this decision by the Obama administration to mandate that Catholic hospitals and universities, the health insurance, that they have to provide contraception. And that's a really hot issue among the Republican base.
Right.
Those things have both been in the news this past week, and Santorum benefited from those.
And thank you for setting up our final clip of Santorum from the speech. And I think this was really the heart, not only of stuff that I think he actually believes, but the positioning that he hopes is going to propel him into seriousness as a contender. He took his best shot at President Obama, which was not simply to knock the president, but to argue that he could make the case against the president better than Mitt or Newt. Now, he leaned religious, as you say, and he leaned anti-government in this. Listen, this is a 2-minute excerpt.
The president over the last few years has tried to tell you that He, in fact, the government can give you rights. The government can take care of you and provide for you. They can give you the right to health care, like in Obamacare. Well, look what happens when the government gives you rights. When the government gives you rights, unlike when God gives you rights, the government can take them away. When government gives you rights, the government can tell you how to exercise those rights. And we saw that just in the last week with a group of people, a small group of people, just Catholics in the United States of America, who were told, you have a right to health care, but you will have the health care that we tell you you have to give your people, whether it is against the teachings of your church or not. I never thought, as a first-generation American whose parents and grandparents loved freedom and came here because they didn't want the government telling them what to believe and how to believe it, that we had a First Amendment that actually stood for freedom of conscience, that we'd have a president of the United States who would roll over that and impose his secular values on the people of this country. And it's worse than that. When one of the Catholic bishops tried to communicate that through army chaplains, the Obama administration said, no, you can't do that. No, because your language is seditious. And they made them change the language of a letter from a bishop to his people. Ladies and gentlemen, freedom is at stake in this election. We need to be the voice for freedom.
Rick Santorum from his victory speech after his three-state primary and caucus sweep last night. Listeners, we have a few minutes for you to get on in on this. Any reaction to that excerpt, if it's the first time you're hearing it or if you watched it last night, on any side of this issue? President Obama has taken some heat on this from liberal Catholics as well as conservative Catholics like Santorum. But anybody want to react to that issue in particular that he raises, or the Santorum candidacy, or his little surge right now, if you can count last night as a surge yet? Anybody listening from Minnesota or Missouri or Colorado there right now, or maybe you come from there and want to talk about those states and put last night's votes into your understanding of the context? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, as we continue with Lisa Lehrer, Bloomberg News politics reporter, no relation. Lisa, I really thought those were his most important 2 minutes of the entire campaign last night, that excerpt that we just played. And my guess is, you know, the pundit in me gets it wrong every time, but my guess is for a certain part of the base, he used them really well.
Yeah, I mean, this was his, as you point out before, this was his free media moment, and he was going to make the most of it and really hit his appeal, which is a social conservative appeal, as hard as he possibly could. But I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that this victory came with three really, really big buts. First of all, turnout was extraordinarily low. It was extremely low in all three caucuses. That's not unusual. People are less likely to turn out for a caucus than a regular primary, but it does show that even though Santorum won, it wasn't like, you know, it shows that Republicans aren't particularly enthusiastic about any of these candidates. They're not exactly driving people to the polls. Turnout has been low in all the primaries so far. It's also important to point out that none of these caucuses actually send any delegates. They're all non-binding. So all the delegates will be picked in April when these states have their convention. So he actually didn't win any delegates for the convention.
I know, and we'll have another conversation on the show one of these days about just how bizarre this nominating system is. What is it that there are states with primaries and caucuses that don't actually delegate any delegates? And yet I thought, in the case of Missouri, for example, where they really there's no direct relationship at all to the way the delegates are chosen. It was purely a beauty contest because of a strange history in that state of how the delegate selection process got uncoupled from the primary. Still, over 100,000 people came out and voted for Rick Santorum, where he got over 50% of the vote. And, you know, yeah, that's small by historical standards, but it says something about something if there's enough dedication and interest in him for over 100,000 people to come out.
But, I mean, compare that to Florida, right? I mean, what is that, a county in Florida? Maybe not quite a county, but you know what I mean? It's a pretty, in the scheme of things, it's a small number. And the other thing to point out that I think is really important is in some of these other states, the Romney campaign turned on all the money, all the machinery, and just hammered Newt Gingrich in particular in Florida, just hammered him with ads. And that has a really negative ads, and that has a big impact, and they didn't really do that in any of these states. I think we might see, and we began to see the day of the primary, the day before the primary, them starting to aim more attacks at Santorum, and those would clearly have an impact on his numbers. One thing they're hitting him on was his supportive earmarks in Congress, which is something that really doesn't play well with Republicans.
Santorum supporter Gary in Queens, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Brian. One of your perennial questions about Santorum is why doesn't he do better given his exemplary conservative credentials and personal life and all that. I've always felt, and I've been a longtime supporter of him, even though I'm an atheist since he was a congressman, mm-hmm. based on certain things, I've always felt that he looked young, and even today, when you look at him, I think he suffers from what I call the Rick Lazio syndrome, which is that it doesn't matter what he says, his appearance, he looks young, he looks small, he doesn't have the gravitas appearance, and as a result, and also, I think you'll agree, he's described as pouting all the time, or he has a face that looks like he's angry or something like that. So I think it's not a solid mm-hmm. policy thing with people. It's just their perception.
You think he can get over it? Get past all those handicaps?
I think he can. And you mentioned the reason why. The HHS issue. I know many Catholics. I'm working with a Catholic organization right now that is very angry that the diocese is being hypocritical because they're asking for conscience exceptions with respect to the HHS issue, but they're not defending Catholics who want to exempt themselves from vaccination. And there are many Catholics in my organization that have a conscientious objection based on religion mm-hmm. to immunizations.
Yes, Gary, thank you very much. I think that's important and may become important in the fall. As for the look, you know, Obama had a skinny kid look compared to the gravitas of how Hillary Clinton looked 4 years ago, especially, Lisa, do you remember noticing this, especially when shot from the back sometimes during the presidential debates in 2008, he just looked like this skinny kid with big ears. And Hillary had all this.
He had those baggy shirts. You remember his shirts used to bag out in the back before he sort of got the tailoring of the president? I always thought made him look a little young.
And he managed to prevail. But the president, President Obama, has been getting knocks from liberal Catholics like E.J. Dionne, for example, and others, as well as by conservatives like Santorum, for the issue Gary called about and that Santorum raised in the clip, this no contraception coverage exemption thing for Catholic employers. I could argue that the law is the law and churches shouldn't have a right to be outside the law. But then again, it's insensitive to people's beliefs as it's being perceived. So are you surprised that the president dug in on this?
Well, it certainly has become a big issue out on the Republican campaign trail. I don't think it's clearly not going to be enough for Santorum to win the nomination because, you know, when you look at polls, when you talk to voters, well, they care about this issue. The economy is by far number one and the number one thing they care about. And Santorum's argument on that, his experience on that, simply isn't as well-versed as Romney, and I think that's
but I'm jumping ahead. I'm jumping ahead a little bit here to the general election. No matter who the Republican nominee is, I'm just wondering how resonant and relevant an issue you think this might become. And yes, obviously the economy is number one, number two, number three.
Right.
But white Catholics are major swing voters, and if this is an issue that registers with you know, some large percentage of white Catholics, I don't know how many since they do actually tend to use birth control like the rest of the population, but maybe it resonates and maybe it becomes a fall issue.
I think it plays also into this larger narrative about the administration that certainly Republicans and some independents have as well, that this is an administration that doesn't have a lot of respect for religious beliefs. Whether that's true or not, that's the idea that's out there. It's something you saw Rick Perry, when he was on the race, hit really hard in ads. You know, he just said that the Obama administration is waging a war against religion. And I think there is this sort of sentiment out there in the public, and this taps into that.
Bloomberg News politics reporter Lisa Lehrer, no relation, different spelling. Thanks a lot. Next up is Maine on Saturday, where Ron Paul hopes to get his first victory, right?
Right. Ron Paul, of course, is pursuing a delegate strategy where he's trying to get as many delegates as possible in a way. You know, and his goal really is to influence the platform and give his supporters a bigger voice when they get to the convention. He hasn't been doing all that great. He hasn't really had the big win that a lot of people thought he'd have, coming in first or second in one of these states. Nevada was a particular defeat
yes.
for him.
Yes.
He's been working it hard there. So it'll be interesting to see. I think everyone will be watching him closely up there.
He did have a decent night last night, and we'll see what happens on Saturday in Maine. Lisa, thanks a lot.
Thanks for having me.
Coming up next, forget Cornell and Brown. The kindergarten application deadline is approaching in New York City. We'll talk to Beth Fertig and Clara Hemphill. Stay with us.